Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. We thank you for the spirit of comfort. We thank you for the spirit of strength. And we thank you for the spirit of protection. So close. You said in your word, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So close. You're not a million miles away, you're right here beside us. And by faith we see you who is invisible. And we set you before us and at our right hand. So close. We believe. We enter your word now and ask that same presence to go with us. Anoint me. Let me speak as I should as an oracle of God. Afresh. Put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge from your word, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Particular the spirit of comfort. Pray that Lord God, as I speak, that you will back these words with great power from your throne. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery, that I will deliver the word with precision. Redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring in out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual lives, agreed with me individually and said, today I have a very simple exhortation that I believe the Lord dropped it into my heart this morning. I believe is very appropriate for the times in which we're living in. And also, I think it's all part of equipping us for this year that has begun to unfold. And I've entitled it Intercession for the Saints. Intercession for the saints. I'd like you to go with me in your Bible to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26. We are going to read from the New King James. From the New King James. Firstly, and then we'll also read from the New International Version. Romans 8, 26, from the New King James. And we read. It says, likewise, please read along with me, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. How many people are feeling weak sometimes? All of us, we need that help. He says, likewise. That's one of the greatest ministries of the Holy Spirit. He's called alongside to help us. So say, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Like somebody pointed out, we know to pray, but we don't know to pray for as we ought. It's one thing to pray, it's another thing to pray as you ought. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. Especially, I mean, we need Him all the time. Like somebody said, you know, recently, they said, you know, you should, you know, walk with God in the good times so that you have the strength to walk with God in the bad times. So it's not only when things are going nice and there's no problem, You shouldn't neglect God. You say, oh, well, everything is fine. Then when it's now time for an emergency, you now rush to pray. Usually it doesn't work. It's the man who is strong with God in the good times that will have strength in the day of adversity. There's a scripture that says that if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And, you know, that scripture reveals something, two very important things. Number one, you're depending on your own strength. Because if you're depending on God's strength, it will not be small. And then secondly, you know, because you're depending on God's strength, then in that time of adversity, you learn how to lean on God. And when you lean on God, then it will be God's grace. And he says, my grace is sufficient. His grace and his strength will be sufficient in that time of adversity. But the secret to it is walking with God in the good times. Like Jesus gave the parable, he said, you don't build your house when the rain is falling. You lay the foundation and build the house when everything is okay. Then when the rain comes and the floods come and the wind blows, because the house is already ready, it can withstand all those pressures. But if you are trying to now build only when the rain comes, then you know you're very likely going to have a very difficult time. It's better to build when everything is fine. So when everything is going on, that's the time to pray. That's the time to seek God, fast, you know, and all of that. Then you will have the equipment and the strength to deal with the challenges that come. So we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, that's why I use the King James, the New King James. The old King James says, but the Holy Spirit is a person. Himself maketh intercession for the world. For us. For us. For us. He makes intercession for us. He makes intercession for us. This message is titled Intercession for the Saints. I'm not talking about the world. Now I'm talking about us. We need prayer. With groanings which cannot be uttered. That's the New King James. Quickly cut to the New International Version here. This is the best translation I've seen so far of this particular scripture. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Turn to your neighbor and say, when you're weak, the Holy Spirit is right there to help you. Then I'm going to add something. He just said this to me now. Let him help you. Turn to your neighbor and say, let him help you. You know, the Holy Ghost can be there to help you, but if you don't let him, he can't help you. He's there to help, but you have to give him access, because he will not violate your free will. So it is your responsibility and your responsibility to open the portal, so to speak, to let him help you. And this is one of the reasons why God gave us tongues. I've discovered that when I'm in a very distressful situation, the only thing I can really do is pray. Because you see, your mind can be in turmoil. All kinds of things. That's why God, the Bible says, when I pray in the Spirit, my spirit prayed, but my mind or my own is unfruitful. So you can ignore your mind. Ignore your mind. Ignore your feelings. That's why the Holy Spirit, he will bypass the mind. He will bypass the emotions. And then you give him a portal through which to speak. And as he speaks, you know what he's going to do? He will calm that mind. Then he will calm those emotions. That's what he's there for. That's his ministry. He's the Spirit of comfort. In a time of turmoil, he will come. That's why the Bible says, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing, the King James says. In the old translation says, you know, in nothing have any anxiety. He said, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will do what? He will keep your heart and mind. But how does he do it? Through that intercession. Through the prayer. as you pray in the spirit, God knows when you're sad and so you can't pray. You can't start forming any kind of, you know, you can't even just say, Holy Spirit, help me. You're here to help me in my weakness. Then open your mouth, say, Lord, help me. Then just pray. Just quietly, not even any strong prayer initially. You will find that as you do that, that ministry will start. He will come. Calm the mind. He will calm the emotions. That's his job. The peace of God will keep your heart and will keep your mind. But you have to let him. You have to let him. Cut back to Romans 8. Thank you. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that what? Words cannot express. Just quiet, just like Jesus did at Lazarus' tomb. He says he groaned in the spirit. Everybody was in an emotional, you know, topsy-turvy, so to speak. But he says, and the Bible said it twice. In the Bible, we let everywhere. He said, and he groaned in himself. As he approached grace, he groaned in himself. It wasn't a loud groan. If you were close to him, you would hear him. He said, and he groaned in himself. He did the same thing in Bethsaida. When he healed the man that was dumb, he says, he took him aside. Then he touched his ears. He puts, you know, and looked up to heaven. The Bible says he sighed. It's a groan, but it's a silent groan. Do that quietly. Holy, you're asking the Holy Spirit for his help. You're asking him to help you in that time of weakness. You're asking him to strengthen you, and he will. You will find that your emotions, you know, he begins to put it together. Your mind, he begins to help you to calm it. It's a great ministry that many Christians neglect. That's why the Holy Spirit had me say, likewise, Spirit helpeth, but you have to let him. He's there, but if you don't let him, you don't get that. You know, most of the time when we're facing situations and crises, either we cry, and there's nothing wrong in crying sometimes. It's good to cry a little bit to let the emotion out. That's fine, you know. And then sometimes we just talk, and then we complain, and then we... And that, you find that, you know, you might spend 1 hour or 2 hours talking and stuff, but if you had spent that 1 or 2 hours, you know, praying, you would have found the Holy Spirit able to calm you. Calm you. That's his ministry. With groans that words cannot express. Verse 27. Keep it. Go to the King James. I'll be switching from one to the other. I'll tell you when I want you to switch to the New International Version. And he who, turn to your neighbor, say he who, he God, God the Father. Have you remember Revelation? It says, I am he that searches the hearts and reins. He that searcheth, I didn't hear you, the hearts, knoweth. What is the mind of the Spirit? This is another beautiful scripture that shows that there's more than one person in the Godhead. The Spirit is doing a work, and the Father and the Son are part of that work. He that searches the heart knows what the mind of the Holy Spirit. He knows what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. And they're working together. Because the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is the power of prayer in the Spirit. So you're not praying your own will now. It's one of the reasons why I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, you know, as a young Christian, and I took it from him and copied the example, and it has paid me off after almost 40 years. He said, I do 90% of my praying in the Spirit. Most Christians is the exact opposite. They do 90% of the praying in understanding and 10% in the spirit. You should switch it around. You know why? You don't know the will of God. You don't know the perfect will of God in every situation, but the Holy Ghost does. What you should just say is, Lord, help me in this situation. Pray, if you know some scripture, ask God, and then pray in tongues. Even if you pray something wrong in the understanding, the Spirit will overwrite it. Hello, somebody. You know, there's a powerful scripture. It's somewhere in the Old Testament. I'm not exactly sure the reference. It popped into my heart as I was just speaking there. You know, the Bible says a woman is just a principle. A woman, either she's a wife or she's a daughter of her father, if she's not married yet. He said that if she vows a vow, you know, and the husband or the father overrides it, what the father says is what prevails. God is our father. So you say something and it's something, if you pray in the spirit, it will override it. It will override it. That's why. And that's where God gave me this message from. Because he maketh intercession for who? The saints. Everyone say intercession for the saints. Say we saints. How many people are saints here? You know, we used to have this impression years ago that a saint is somebody who's died and gone to heaven, and then you have to wait for many years to become a saint. That's all man's religion. The Bible calls us saints. See, you make an intercession for all the saints. So saints need intercession. I thought they were saints. I thought they were saints. Of course they're saints. But God is still working on them. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a work in progress. You're still a work in progress. You need intercession. I need intercession. We all need intercession. He maketh, even though they're saints, they're children of God, they still need intercession according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit, that's why we need him. Praying tongues and groanings, you know, so that he can birth the will of God for our lives. Verse 28. Good. Now, go to New International now. King James is not very good here. And we know that in all things, God works. This is a great scripture. God works for the good of those that love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You see, when that scripture is quoted, it's always quoted out of context. And we know that all things work together for good. That's not what the scripture actually says. What the scripture says is that in all things, God works for the good of those that love him. And in the way he works is through that intercession. It is that intercession that gives him the legal avenue and the vital avenue, the portal through which he can work and then cause all things to work together for good. There's a great scripture. You can now see the great value. And 2019, turn to your neighbor and say, in 2019, I'm going to pray daily in the Holy Spirit with tongues and with groanings, so that every day of this 2019, all things will work together for my good. God will cause all things to work together for my good. I was meditating. You know, I told us that we're going to do a 3-day fast. We'll pray about it next week. It's next Monday, which is 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. It's a 3-day fast, a prophetic fast. You know, the Lord just reminded me, you know, He reminded me of the 3-day fast of Esther. It was the power that was generated from that 3-day fast that God used to change the political situation in Persia, where the Jews were supposed to have been killed, and there was a genocide that had been planned by Haman, and God turned the whole thing around, you know, and that's how they celebrated the Feast of Purim, or Lots. This Haman was a wicked man who had used demonic power. He was casting lots in those back. They still do it up today. You know, evil people, they go to go and see a witch doctor or something, and then he begins to look at, you know, incantations and try to choose a good day for whatever it is they want to do. So that's what Haman did. He went and he cast lots, and then he chose a specific date. When I look back in history, honey, You know, and I discovered that the Feast of Purim is exactly 1 month behind Passover. Go and check it. I preached some of this last year when I preached on, you know, Priest of Purim and vengeance and all that. You know, I've been reading those scriptures for years, but I didn't make that connection. You know what? Haman wanted to eliminate you so there will be no more Passover from that moment. Had he killed all the Jews, there would have been no celebration of Passover again the next month. Purim is on the 13th and the 14th day. Passover is 14th of the next month. Purim is 13th and 14th day of the 12th month. Passover is 14th day of the first month. Exactly 1 month. So, the Lord told me, he said, this is your fast. You know, as you people pray and you, I'm going to use that power to work things for Nigeria in this coming election. The kingdom of God, the dominion of God will be enforced and his will be done by the mercy and the grace of God. He said, that's why he said it is a prophetically, strategically placed fast, because it happens, when is the election? February 16th. It just fits it. Just the last 3 weeks to the election. 16th is 2 weeks. Then, you know, we have 1 week. We finished on the 23rd on the fast. And we're going to see God do great things. Amen. You should prepare yourself. And so he reminded me of the Feast of Esther. You know what happened in Esther? It's one of the great... It's not spectacular. It's circumstantial. But it's one of the greatest miracles. Mordecai went to Esther and said, this is what's happening. Esther said, I can't go to the king unless he calls me. Because if I go to him and he hasn't called me, he can kill me. How did she know? He had done it for many people. She was genuinely afraid. Then Mordecai and I went and said, look, if you keep quiet, God will raise deliverance from somewhere else, but you and your father's house will be destroyed. So she said, okay, uncle, this is what we're going to do. You fast. Get all the people in the Shushan Palace. How many people are in the Shushan Palace here? It's a typology of the people who are like in the upper room, the cyber upper room, like what we're doing in Good Morning Jesus. These are people who, you know, there are people in the other provinces, but there are people who are close to where the king is. The Shushan Palace. He said, I and my maidens, we will fast. They too also join us and let us fast. We've started a 1 month fast now, you know, which ends at 6 o'clock in the evening. Then during that 3 days, we're going to do a full fast. All of these things is the power of God being stored and built up for a purpose. Nothing is accidental. So Esther says, all right, let you guys fast and I will fast. He said, and after 3 days, I will go before the king and listen to her. And if I perish, I perish. She took her life in her hand. She did not love her life unto the death. She was actually ready to die. Because you could not predict the mood of the man. You know, there are a lot of people like that. I won't go there. Praise the Lord. You can't tell what they will do tomorrow. They say this today, do that tomorrow. But don't worry. The fast of Esther will take care of them. That's why we need to pray. So, they pray. The Bible says on the third day, Esther puts on her royal robes. And she goes to the court where the king is. He said, as soon as the king saw her, he stretched forth the golden scepter. And said, Queen Esther, come. What do you want? Ask anything you like to the half of my kingdom. Why would he say such? He's his wife. You know, and he had many concubines and everything. Although she was the queen, you know. What would put it in his heart to make such an outlandish, you know, gesture? To say, ask anything up to half of the kingdom. He didn't need to say that. It was God. And in all things, God works for the good. That fasting and prayer was not in vain. The Spirit of God had gone to move on the heart of a man who normally is temperamental. Not only was he accommodating, he could have just said, "Oh, Esther, oh yeah, come. What, do you need anything? What's it? I'm busy. You know what? Well, he won't kill her, but say, look, tell me what you want. You know." Look at God. God had worked on the man, worked on his emotions. Prayer is never wasted. In all things, even an unbeliever and a temperamental unbeliever for that matter, not a Christian, God had worked on his emotions and God now made him generous. Say, Esther, come, come. What do you want? I will give you anything, even to the half of the kingdom. Esther played her cards very well. She said, if it pleased the king, and the king likes it, he said, I'm going to make a banquet of wine. And I want to invite the king and Haman to come to that banquet of wine. And then, when you come for the banquet, I will tell you what I want. You know, she put him on edge. So, this must be a very important thing. What is it that she wants, you know? So, they go for the banquet of wine with Haman. Haman was so full of himself because no other person was invited. And you know, before then, the king had already promoted Haman. He was the chief of all the princes. Then for the queen to have a special banquet, and of all the people in the empire, only me. He felt so proud. He went to go and tell everybody, tell his wife and everybody, said, wow, you don't know what happened to me today. The queen, you know, invited me with the king, you know, and it's just the three of us, and we're going to have a special banquet of wine. Wow. And boasted of the riches of his house, boasted of his children, and how great he was. And something else happened that day. As he was going to go to the banquet of wine, he passed through the court and saw Mordecai. All that time, all the princes bowed before Haman, but never Mordecai. Because Mordecai said, we only worship God. So he refused to be cowed, and Mordecai didn't bow. He was so incensed. He was so angry. But he said, the Bible says he refrained himself. So, I won't deal with him. I will kill all these people. So when he got home, he boasted to his wife Zeresh and all the other guys and said, go and make a gallows 50 cubits high, and I'm going to hang Mordecai on it. So he now goes to the feast with the queen and the king. So the king is very happy. He's drinking wine and everybody is, you know, cool. And the king said, look, Esther, what do you want? Esther said, king, cool down. Olubi translation. I will tell you tomorrow. Tomorrow, you and Haman come again. We'll go have another banquet. And then I will tell you what I want. The king said, okay, let's enjoy this. So Haman enjoyed the wine with Esther and the king. So he goes home, makes his boast, builds the gallows that he's going to. I'm preaching this for a very important reason. For you to see how God works all things together for good. And the vital importance of intercession for the saints. So, he goes home, you know, and he has the gallows made. And he's going to come for the banquet tomorrow. The next verse, chapter, is chapter 6. Says, and on that night, the king could not sleep. Who took his sleep away from him? God. So even unbelievers, God can walk upon them when they are supposed to be sleeping. Do you understand now? In all things, God works for the good. That's the power of intercession. God began to work on the king. Very unusual. You need to understand, in those days, they didn't have television. They didn't have all these modern this thing. The entertainment the kings had in those days was that when they're having court, you know, they will call dancers, they will call musicians, they will sing, they will dance, they had court jesters and all of that, you know. But this night, the man couldn't just sleep. Then he does something very unusual. You don't do that in the middle of the night. You wait until morning. He said, go and bring me all the records. The chronicles of the... You don't do that at night. You do that in the afternoon when you have your, you know, when you're holding God, and there are times, you know, there's a time for such official matters. They brought it in the middle of the night. The man couldn't sleep. And then he didn't know what he was looking for. Oh, turn to your neighbor and say, God is great. He will make a way where there is no way. And you know Jesus' middle name is I Am the Way. Give the Lord a clap offering. That he specializes. That's why you need to let the Holy Spirit help you. There is no way Mordecai could have done all of that by himself. Or Esther. What will they know? He begins to search the records. Then he comes upon the place where it is recorded that Mordecai saved him from a coup. Two of his eunuchs had wanted to kill him. It was Mordecai that gave the information, and those eunuchs were arrested and they were killed. This had happened years before. Sometimes God does not pay you that day. Stay faithful. It was just recorded and it was kept. So the king got to the... He said, wait a minute. This man that saved my life and saved me from this coup, execution, what has been done for him? The eunuch said, Oga. It's Nigerian translation. You know, nothing has been done for the man who... The king said, that's not good enough. The man saved my life. He said, okay, I'm going to reward this man. But I don't even know what reward I can give him. I need the advice. God. It's one of these, this story is one of those that make you fear God. I need the advice of one of my top guys. So it was, imagine, this was in the night. It was already morning. So you can imagine the number of hours. The man hadn't slept and got up. Yes. He hadn't slept and got up. He was doing that thing all night, found the information and all of that. So the morning had dawned. Haman comes to the palace first thing in the morning. All the other officials have not got there. Haman is number one to enter the court. And he has a project in mind. He was coming early in the morning before the rest of the people come to get permission to hang Mordecai. Talk about all things working together. So he walks into the court. So the king is looking for advice. What are we going to do to honor this man that saved my life? So the eunuch said, you know, the chamberlains that look after the king, they say, oh king, Haman is in the court. Haman is the best guy. Let him come. He will know. No, because he's his chief prince. If anybody can tell me what to do, it will be Haman. Haman, come. Good morning. God bless you. How are you? Will it be translation? Okay, I'm fine. He said, I have an important thing. What should be done for the man that the king wants to honor? There is a scripture that's just come to my mind. Honey, you know that scripture where it says, to the froward, I will show myself froward. You know what another translation says? It says, to the wayward, I will show myself shrewd. This is not the king, this is God. We have to understand God's character. He was using human beings. He was using the king and Haman. But the person that was walking behind the scenes was God. This is what intercession does. So, he comes before the king. And the king says, Haman, you're a very sharp guy. This is Olubi translation. You know, you're one of my best advisors. I trust you. Now, you tell me. What should be done for the man the king wants to honor? To the wayward, I will show myself shrewd. God did not violate Haman's free will. He used his own free will to do God's will. Fear God, oh! Fear God. Fear God. That's why he is God and you are not. You will be thinking your thought and it will be your thought, but it will be God using your thought. And you won't know. This one of the, this scripture, it gives me great confidence that no matter the situation, God will turn it around. He just needs a portal. He needs people who are praying. And this is in the Old Testament. If he could do this in the Old Testament, these ones in the New Testament, their problem is very simple. I'm telling you. And you know what happened? Haman thought to himself, the very pride of his heart was what God used against him. To the wayward, I will show myself shrewd. Baba. No, I jekwa ye, Baba. Who else? And his thinking was very logical. Listen to it. I'm trying to show you how God operates. He said, who else will the king want to honor apart from me? After all, he just promoted me. He's promoted above all the princes. I sit next to the king. Who else? It has to be me. That logic is correct. It's not a wrong logic. He looked at her. He said, who else would the king want to honor? Let's say it in Yoruba. If it's not me. Of course it has to be me. Which other prince is as high as I in the kingdom? I'm next to the king. So it has to be me. I'm sure the king is very impressed. The money I want to get for him by killing all these Jews. I'm sure that's why he wants to honor me. Because the decree had already gone out. So he... Baba stretched himself. O king. The man that you want to honor. Say this is what you should do for him. Give him the king's dress. Ambition. Go and get the king's horse. It shows you a man's heart. The next thing is the throne. And you know what? This is just by the side, and this free of charge is revelation knowledge. If Haman had succeeded in killing the kings, the Jews, the next person who would have killed was the king. Because all those guys would be in his control. Because the people who are going out, it was Haman who was going to give them the money. He would have planned another plot and coup. And he's one of those people who went to kill the Jews that will kill the king. And then he will blame it on the Jews. And he will become king. That was the plan. God x-rayed his heart. I am the Lord that searches the reins and the hearts. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit and maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He x-rayed his heart. Before you think it, God knows it. There is no wisdom or understanding against the Lord. Write it down and don't ever in your heart think you can plan something against God or the purposes of God. He will walk around you. He said, get the king's horse and the apparel that the king loves to wear. But he didn't stop there. They said, the most senior of all the princes, he will hold the horse like this. Then he will walk throughout Susan the palace. And he will take it round the whole town and say, thus shall be done to the man the king wants to honor. The next thing Haman thought was going to come out of the king's mouth was that, Haman, go and get the next prince and let them do it for you. What he heard gave him a heart attack. He said, the king said, now do, let nothing fail. And do to Mordecai, the king, with the Jew, with haste. of hy wil hê. Don't tell anybody, don't worry about Nigeria. God is in control. Those who think they are in control will find out God is in control. Give the Lord a clap offering. Haman thought he was in control. And guess what? In the natural, he was in control. He was the chief of all the princes. He had already got a decree from the king. He had already sealed and signed everything. He thought he had everything planned. But there is a God who rules in the affairs of men. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. He thought he was in control. See how God overnight turned everything around in 24 hours. But you know it wasn't 24 hours because the intercession had been going on. Just like, you know, we've been praying for Nigeria in these elections since last year. All that power has been stored up for February. And God will move. So, amen. God has a way of humiliating the... God resisted the proud. He's the person... He came to hang him. But God honored him. The person that the devil wanted to use to hang him was the same person God used to honor him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So he takes him and takes him around the entire town. Ah, I can imagine Mordecai just looking at the guy on the horse with the king's dress. Mordecai, he would have just been giving thanks to Jehovah. Say, God, you are a great God. This is the man that wanted to kill us. And you are using him to honor me. Ah! Only God can do it. And that's what intercession for the saints will do for you. In this 2019, every contrary situation in your life, God will start working and he will turn it around for your good. But give him the chance. And we know the rest of the story. He brings Haman, Mordecai. Mordecai now, is honored and everything. He rushes to his house in shame and tells his wife Zeresh and his in our language, something hits me today. And he began to lament and everything. You know what they told him? They said, you wanted to kill this man. You can't kill him again. He says, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, and you have started to fall before him, you will never prevail over him. Since you are the seed of Abraham, I release a prophetic blessing on you. Because you are the seed of Abraham. Amen. Every current situation that has started to fall before you continue to fall, and will never prevail over you in Jesus' name. But be like Mordecai and Esther. Be prayerful Christians. Intercession for the saints. It was intercession that brought this about. And you know the rest of the story. The next day, Esther has the feast. The second, because there were two. She did the one the day before. This was the next day. At the banquet of wine. And calls the king and Haman. As he was lamenting at home, the eunuchs, these are like the military officers, they came to collect him. And said, you are wanted at the banquet. His mind was in a turmoil. So he gets to the banquet and the queen is sitting and the king and they're having the wine and everything. So the king now says, what's it? Oh yeah, tell me, what is it that you want? He said, oh king, me and my people, we have been sold to be killed. And she tells him the whole story. The king got up, he was angry. He said, who would dare do such a thing to want to kill my queen and her people? He said, is this wicked Haman? Haman fainted. He fainted. And he fainted on the couch. that Esther, that where Esther sits, Komomoshe, Oikoni. In other words, he didn't do it deliberately. He fainted, you know. And he started to try and beg Esther for his life. The king was so angry. He had walked out of the parlor and went to the garden, and he was thinking of what he was going to do to this Haman and deal with this guy. So the king walks back into the Israel and finds Haman. He finds Haman on the couch that Esther sits upon. King said, will he now force the king in front of me? They said, put the thing on his head. Then the people who, you know, human beings are terrible. That's why you should be very careful and walk in love. The same people that built the gallows, the news had gone round. So they said, you know, they go and kill him. He said, in fact, he built a gallows. He built a gallows for Mordecai. He said, very good, hang him on it. Give the Lord a clap offering. But I don't want us to miss the moral in this story and the lesson. Intercession for the saints. It was the prayer and the fasting that generated the spiritual power that changed a precarious situation and turned it around for good. This is a practical example of all things working together for good through the intercession. And the wrath of the king was pacified. I won't go into the rest of the story. I've given you enough prophetically for that. But let me begin to close. We need to pray in the spirit. 2019, I shared it with you on New Year's Day, at least once a week, for yourself, you know, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. But even as that is going on, all these other things will be happening. You know, I'm going to give you a few more instructions now. You know, weekly, look for time. You know, when you've done Good Morning Jesus and all of that, that's all important because it gives you a booster. But that's not the end of it. You have to continue to pray. You have to find time to pray for yourself, to pray for your family, to pray for the things in your life. The corporate prayer gives you a boost because of the corporate anointing. But it is not a substitute. It's supposed to complement the prayers that you make. I put here, I say, why? Why do we intercede for the saints? I'm going to go through this very quickly and close. To help us overcome our weaknesses, number one. Number two, to become conformed to the image of Jesus. Let's go back to Romans 8. Romans 8, 26, 27, 28. Go to 28. And then switch. Go to 28. Okay. And then switch now to the King James. And now it says, you know, all things work together for good for them alone. Who are called according to his purpose. 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also, I didn't hear you, did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his son, that he might be what? The firstborn among many brethren. The purpose of the intercession is to conform you, to cause Christ, the word conform, you know, make you like. Paul said it this way in Galatians. He said, my little children whom I travail in birth till Christ be what? Formed. Conformed. Form. Christ has to be formed in you. And that takes time for the Christ character in your mind, your will, your emotions, your body to be conformed to the image of God. That's the purpose of the intercession. And also, I put it here in my notes, you know, for you to be protected. You see, it takes many years to go from spiritual babyhood and little childhood into spiritual young manhood and finally into spiritual fatherhood. During that time, Satan always tries, especially for people who have got the right direction, to kill you before that time, during those years. So you need divine protection. So that is why you need to pray. When you pray like this, you're getting three things. You're getting help in your weaknesses. You're getting divine protection. And you're getting conformed to the image of Jesus. How? I shared it during the watch night service. So this is like an addendum. Daily, weekly. So that those who, you know, are not in full-time ministry, but at least once in a week. That's one reason why we have all-night prayer meetings. And we create all these fora where you can pray. And then even your own personal something, look for that time. Somebody says, I can't afford the time. You cannot afford not the time. Say, I can't afford. You can't afford not to. Not with all the mess that's going on now. We're living in perilous times. You need it more than ever now. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Galatians 4:19, which I quoted earlier on, my little children will travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. So you do it daily, you do it when you can, you do it weekly, and then one other instruction as I close, in order. What does that mean? Follow me to Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17. It's just a principle from the Old Testament types and shadows. When God was giving instruction to the high priest on the Day of Atonement, he gave him an order. He said, there shall no man be in the tabernacle of congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out. And have made, everybody read with me, and have made an atonement for himself. Everybody say one. For his household, everybody say two. And for all the congregation of Israel, everybody say three. By the grace of God, it will be 40 years in this year. We're in 2019. Well, I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I started praying. Over the years, God taught me these principles. And this is what I do. I pray first of all for myself. Because if I'm not strong, I can't even pray for my family. Then secondly, I pray for my household, my wife, my children. Then I now pray for the church and the ministry. Many people, many ministers make that mistake. They pray for the church and something, and they don't take time to pray. It's wrong order. This is the correct order. You pray for yourself. You pray for your wife and children. You know, and then you pray for the church. Let me just give a little example from my life. You know, for example, you see, in this church, for example, we have Sunday services, we have Tuesday, we have Wednesday, then we have all the other auxiliaries like Zion City Fellowship, Good Morning Jesus, Lead Intercessors, Man Child, to the glory of God. And I say this, I yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. This is what I do. And I've been doing it for years by the grace and the mercy of God. When I get up early in the morning, the first 1 hour is myself. The second 1 hour is my wife and my children. Sometimes I have to do some extra, maybe for my wife or one of my children or whatever it is that, you know. It is only when I've done that I start with the church. So, for example, let's say it's Tuesday, for example. You know, usually like on Monday, I will pray a little bit. So I'll pray 1 hour for myself, 1 hour for my wife. Then I now pray, you know, for the Tuesday meeting that's coming. You know, on Monday, I pray maybe 1 or 2 hours, you know. Then I pray for the church. I pray, you know. Then Wednesday, I pray the day before, you know. Then Thursday, I pray for the lean sessors, you know. The Good Morning Jesus, I pray for that. I pray for all of those things, you know. So I make sure, that is why most of the time, I have to spend a minimum of 4 to 5, 6 hours every day in prayer. So say, how can you do that? How can you not do that if you're a minister? Acts chapter 6. He says that it is not right for us to give time to tables. He said that we give ourselves continually. That's the word. Full-time ministry. Continually. This is not for people who are not in full-time. But you know, continually to the prayer, and prayer comes number one. Go and check it. That's it. To prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer and the ministry. The ministry of the word will not be effective without prayer. All these things that we preach, revelation, where do you think it comes from?
is the intercession, the way we have prayed in the spirit, that I now, all the things that come, I'm just interpreting what I prayed in tongues in the presence of prayer. So it is no longer me who is speaking. It is the Spirit of God within me that is talking. This is what works. This is how it works. So, you know, for you who is not full time, for example, you can take Monday or Tuesday or look for a day, like when you have all night, you know, yourself, your wife, the children, then business, whatever it is that you do, you know, you now pray about those other things. Then if you're in a group, like in the choir, or like that, you do it once in a month. You know, when you prioritize the thing in order, it works. And it's the mercy and the grace of God through a humble and an honest. And that's why you have to watch your attitude. You see, I can blow tongues and groan and all. Once my attitude changes, the fuel goes, fuel supply is cut. It's the mercy and the grace of God operating through that practice that causes things to work. So you can't come and boast. He said that it might be by grace. Therefore, it is of faith that this promise might be sure to all the seed. It doesn't happen simply because you do it. It happens because the mercy and the grace of God operates through. And the only thing that causes mercy and grace is honesty and humility of heart. And it is an attitude you must maintain. I got to close. So, in this 2019, you need your wife are saints. I'm sure most of us, you know. Your children are saints. Intercession for the saints. The people in the church are saints. So it covers all the things. It's intercession for the saints. You yourself, you're a saint. You yourself, you have your own weaknesses. You have your own blind spots. So you need to pray for yourself. Then you now pray for your household, wife and children. Then you now pray for the congregation of Israel, which is ministry and other external, like your business and all of that. You should take an hour a week for these different things. Then as you do that, you find that God works all things. He will start making intercession for the saints. And then he will now work in all things. You go and do a contract. A lot of people have been trying for 20 years. You get there, somebody just says, I used to be in my school. It's happened to my wife and I so many times. You just go somewhere. You know, you don't know anybody. You don't know anything. You know, but because you've prayed. One time we needed something, you know, in a very high place in government. We didn't know anybody. We didn't know the people there. You know, and all that. We had to submit a letter and all that. They said, nobody can get it. It's so tight and everything. You know, when the man who helped me to take it there got there, and the man just looked at it. He said, which Olubi Johnson is this? Is it the same people in Lyford? He said, yeah. I said, that's where my child went. My child was so blessed. I said, this is my personal thing. Give it to me. I make sure it gets done. It's favor. Hundreds of people applied. They couldn't get it. Richer than us. They had nothing to do with money. Just having the right person in the right place at the right time. Only the Holy Spirit can do that combination. All the time. And so, 2019, do not play with intercession for the saints. Let us pray. Talk to God. This 2019, make sure once every week you're praying for yourself. If you're not yet married, you know, then, you know, you're, after you pray for yourself, you pray for your career and things like that. If you're married yourself, then your wife and your children, then ministry, if you're in ministry or you're in an activity group, you know, where you pray together maybe once every month. But it has to be consistent and regular. It is that portal that the Holy Spirit will now use to cause all things to work together for your good, like he did for Haman, like he did for Mordecai, and overcame Haman. Talk to God. Don't play around with prayer in this year. So much we can see, you know, that Satan is mad. He's furious. He wants to kill the man child. One of the reasons why he's attacking Nigeria is that he will want everything to scatter during these elections and cause all kinds of uproar, but it's not going to happen. The peace of God, the personal understanding, will keep Nigeria. it's going to be well with our nation. It is well with our nation. In spite of all the time of Mordecai was a time of great danger for the Jews. It looked as if everything was going to scatter. But when Mordecai and Esther began to pray, God turned it around. As we have begun to pray and continue to pray, God is going to turn it around. And it's well with Nigeria in Jesus' name.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Oh, our sins and griefs to bear.
What a privilege.
Hallelujah.
What a privilege to carry everything.
Everything to God in prayer. What peace we often fall.
Oh, what needless pain.
Oh, what needless blame we bear.
Oh, because
hallelujah.
We do not.
Because we do not care.
Everything
to God in prayer.
Let's start again from verse 1.
What a friend.
What a prayer.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
All our sins.
All our sins
and griefs to bear.
Our sins and griefs to bear.
A privilege to carry
everything.
Everything to God in prayer.
Oh, what peace! Glory to God.
Can we find a friend so
near? No. Okay. Have we trials and temptations? Go on.
Have we
trials and temptations?
Is there trouble?
We should never.
Hallelujah.
Be discouraged,
and
take it to the Lord in prayer.
Can we find glory to God?
Can we find a friend so faithful?
Who will?
Who
will all our sorrows share?
Raise the other hand. This 2019, do this. Don't forfeit peace. That peace is there. But if you don't pray, God doesn't have a portal through which to keep your heart and mind. A lot of pain you can avoid. This 2019 will be a year of intercession for the saints. Yourself, your household, and Israel, that is the church, and businesses and all the people you interact with. It even works for unbelievers. Even works for unbelievers. Like the king. That king was not an easy king. He was a person of great temperament. Terrible temperament. Esther was afraid of her own husband. But God turned it around. You will read later in the book of Esther. He said, you and Mordecai, say, write the law as you like it. Can you imagine? A heathen king. We are going to see God do great things in Nigeria. He said, the law you want, write it. And that's going to be the law of the land. Because somebody took it to the Lord in prayer. Raise your hand. Touch your heart. Say, Father, we confess our sins. And so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you brought to me for 2019. That in this year, I would daily, regularly pray in the Spirit with tongues, with groanings, interceding for the saints, myself, my household, the church of God, my businesses, and wherever I am involved, so that in all things you will work together for my good. You would turn everything the enemy has meant for evil against me in this year. You would turn it around for my good. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, have mercy on me. Mercy, Lord. Mercy not to be destroyed. Mercy not to faint. Mercy to be faithful. Mercy to triumph always when I pray. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Have mercy upon me. In 2019. To be faithful in intercession for the saints. Let's pray in the Spirit. Nekatolo mashalaka. Nombre do fredo freshe. Lombre do fridishk. Zofrede la mashalakara. Lombre dikatolo mashalaka. Tolomakar do fridishk. Tolomangar do fridis. Lombre deles. Zofridia. Lo predica tosca fre, l'ombre di lamatolo, zilibir dofri de freshe, l'ombre de lamatolo mosh, zicato, l'ombre camatolo matolo mosh dofri de freshe, l'ombre de lamatolo matofri se, l'ombre hair, tofride, l'ombre camatolo matofrides, no frides, longaras, no frides, longardeles, zicato frides, longardeles, zofrides, longardeles, tofrides, no frigalamoros, tolomaras, tofrides, non gredeles, tuloas, ningredalas, tofrides, no frideas, tolomaras, tufrides, lingredalas, tolomaras, tufrides, nombredeles, tufridelas, tufridengar tufris. In Jesus' name.
I just want to read the scriptures Pastor was talking about. It's such an important scripture. Like we pray every day in Good Morning Jesus for parents. And pray for godly seed, that God will raise them up, and to see the importance of how we can stand and intercede. And it's in Numbers 30. I'll just read it. I'm not going to comment. And Moses spake unto the 30. I'm looking from verse 1. And Moses, Numbers 30.
Numbers chapter 30, verse 1. Numbers chapter 30. Good. They got it all. Good.
Yes. Then, and Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that he has proceeded out of his mouth. But see, if a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord, this is what Pastor said, and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father
hear her vow and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth,
not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she had bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her.
The same thing happens to her.
Verse 6. And if she had at all a husband when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vow shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her.
This was what Pastor was saying, that when we pray in the Spirit, even if our petition in the understanding, because we do not know how we should pray as we ought, is wrong. Because our Father knows the mind of the Spirit, who prays the mind of God for us, he nullifies those wrong petitions and then he puts in place the right order. Hallelujah. So I just thought, God, this is government. This is God's government. This is divine order. The same thing, the power of parents. And that's why he said, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you. Parents have power to annul. They have power to make of none effect. Effective high priests, husbands, who are effective high priests, have the power to annul, and God will forgive, because the husband who is an effective high priest has annulled and disallowed. Now you can understand why in Good Morning Jesus we cannot but pray for family. We cannot but pray for the husband. We cannot but pray for the change of the configuration of the heavens, of the men, that they stand in their place, and that women be effective helpmeet, suitable, adaptable, and complementary. And the seeds take their rightful place, because they are the unit of the church. Glory be.
Hallelujah. We're going to take the benediction now. These principles, go and review these scriptures. Go and review them. You understand divine order. Yes. You understand divine order. You just, you know, in the house of God, you can't just behave yourself anyhow. There is order. There is order. Hallelujah. Just before we take the benediction, as I was ministering, Pastor Fred, my dear friend, and his wife, Professor and Dr. Mrs. Adegoke, please join us. Join Sarah and I here. Join us here. Hallelujah. This was the man that God used to set me in order and help me look after my wife. Baba Fredo, thank you for coming. You know, they've come to just spend a few hours with us on KBSC's passing. Thank you, Pastor Fred. Thank you. And you know, Tinu and Sarah are cousins. So, you know, Daddy and Tinu's mother were very, very close. They were very, very close, you know. But like we said, we give God all the thanks. Pastor Fred, say something. Say something. Bless the people.
Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus.
My spiritual father first, but so it's not age.
Praise the Lord. We came in and met the last part of the message, and that was wonderful. As we step into this year, prayer is something that you cannot do without. And I want to encourage the house that we dig in deep in intercession and prayer. That's the only way. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God and able to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. And I believe that by the grace of God, as we step into this year, it's going to be a fruitful year for all of us.
Amen.
Never mind what you read in the newspapers.
Yes, sir.
Never mind what the politicians are saying. Yes. Our God is in control. Praise the name of God. Sister Sarah.
Okay. Praise the name of the Lord.
We came into a very favorite story, and I certainly cannot add to what Pastor has so much been able to get us to learn about the power of intercession. But I can't resist saying this. You know, suddenly, as we were singing the song, "Have We Trials and Temptation," it just came to me that for Mordecai, it was a trial.
Yes.
But you know, there's somebody who succumbed to temptation, and that's the prodigal son. And he had the same honor that the king gave to Mordecai. Praise the Lord. Haman is a type of guilt, of shame, of sin. And he had the legal right to him to want to put gallows on the prodigal son, on Mordecai, sorry. Haman is a descendant of King Agag, who Saul did not kill at the right time. My brethren, let us approach the high priest. We're interceding for ourselves. You know, there's a high priest that is interceding for us when we've not been as clear as Mordecai or as Joseph, who also was honored by the king. Let us approach his throne of grace boldly because of his love. And let's tell ourselves the king's honor is also for us. The king's honor is for us. As we seek the Lord, and he tears away all the years of wandering, and instead of shame, we are told, you will have double honor in the name of Jesus. And for Mordecai, who deserved it, if we would say so, or Joseph, but the prodigal son was given the king's coat willingly, was given the ring, the signet ring, his shoes were changed. The Lord changed our garments, our raiment, and that is really what Pastor was saying about being conformed to his image. We suddenly cast off all the desert cloth, and there we are, rejoicing is coming. For whom? For us who have received grace through faith in Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord.
Let me explain what Sister was saying, very prophetic. There are two sets of people, because sometimes you may not understand the prophetic. She was talking about Mordecai, who by the grace and the mercy and Joseph deserved, because they've been faithful. And there's a group who didn't even deserve. The prodigal child, didn't even deserve it. He has spent his living riotously. But the love of the Father found him. The love of the Father located him. The love of the Father set a firm mattress upon his head and gave him a ring and brought him back. Hallelujah. Don't know where you belong. But I want to tell you this 2019. Don't die as a prodigal child. The Bible says, while he was eating with swine, he came into senses. Let's come to our senses. That even the poorest of the poor in my Father's house are better treated. So I will go back to my Father's house. This is a season of go back, and the Lord will make room for you. And as the Father saw him from afar, the Lord made room for him. The Lord made room for him. You heard what my papa said. He said, we shall be fruitful here. Hallelujah. And he said, brother, you go kill the fattest cow. Hallelujah. No, let's go there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let us share the grace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. I say you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Look at your neighbor saying, 2019, you will intercede for the saints, yourself, your household, and the house of Israel, and the church. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you, everybody.